103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. One of 3.2 Dublin City FM. Good afternoon. This is The Sod Show with Peter Donegan and me, Brian Green, an action-packed show for you today. So much to get through. Let's see if we can get it all in half an hour. We'll be talking with Dee Sewell about community gardens, and we'll be talking about the Native Woodland Trust and our big old trees in Ireland, all coming up in the next half hour on The Sod Show, brought to you in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet, greensacks.ie. To our inbox and some news, Garden Show Ireland moves to yet another magnificent setting, Antrim Castle Gardens, from its former site at Hillsborough Castle, and will take place on new dates between the 9th and the 11th of May 2014. This is something for your diary next year. Antrim Castle Gardens, situated a few minutes' walk from the centre of Antrim town and just 10 minutes off the M2, is one of the most unique and historical intact gardens under public ownership in Ireland, containing over four centuries of garden heritage. It has been beautifully restored by Antrim Borough Council, incorporating new, revived garden features with fully accessible pathways through its 60 acres of parkland. Garden Show Ireland is proud to have been asked by the Antrim Borough Council to celebrate the completion of the restoration by bringing Northern Ireland's premier garden event to this glorious setting on Friday the 9th, Saturday the 10th and Sunday the 11th of May 2014. Garden Show Ireland looks forward to joining them, so if you want applications to participate, get in touch now at www.gardenshowireland.com. That's May 2014. A new year is around the corner. Only a couple of weeks now. 103.2 Dublin City FM, and we'll have more news later, but let's go to our first item on today's show, and we're talking with one of the best persons in the country with a knowledge of community gardening. This is Dee Sewell.
So today I'd planned to talk to you about community garden from a community garden, but I've come home and I'm just reflecting about what it actually meant to be at the community garden today and what I've observed there. I've been working with community gardens for the last 4 years now. I've helped set up 10 in Carlow and Kilkenny, and they're all quite different, but they all share one common theme, and that's that they are about people. Community gardens, actually, they're a place where people come together, they share the work and they share the produce. They're usually about growing vegetables and fruit, but sometimes cut flowers as well. So I was looking at the women there today. Usually there's some men come along too. Today it was just women. And what I noticed was how they relaxed. They were there. On the Wednesday group, we meet for 2 hours every week on a Wednesday morning. And, you know, they might arrive all buzzing and wound up from things that have happened. Maybe they've been caught in traffic or, you know, they've got stresses at home. But they arrive and they just, the worries just leave their shoulders, if you like, as they start to slow down and connect with nature again. When we're outside, you know, what you can't beat feeling the sense of the sun on your skin or the wind. You can feel the breezes. This week we've been feeling the frosts, been very low temperatures, but it didn't stop us getting outside and doing some work. We actually cleaned the polytunnel in one of the gardens today, got the bucket out and gave the plastic a good scrub with some washing up liquid and a soft broom. And we put loads of well-rotted manure into some other beds. So we've been busy even for this time of year. But it, as I say, it slows people down. The community gardeners, they're great. The gardens, they're just real social levellers, actually. You mightn't know. I've been working with one group for a year now, as I say, every week. And I have no idea what they do in their private lives. they don't really talk about what they do in their private lives. It's all about the here and now and the sharing and the jokes and the crack. And if you ask any of them why they come to the community garden, number one usually is for the people. It's the social element. They want to just meet people. And then secondly, it's about the gardening. It's about sowing the seeds. It's about learning new skills. But the number one reason is the social element. So I'll tell you more about the rest next time.
Thanks, Dee. We'll be checking back in with Dee in another week's time for more information on community gardens. And you can check Dee out on Twitter at GreensideUpVeg. At GreensideUpVeg. Simple as that. 103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show, brought to you in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. We're going to our interview of the week, and a while back, our Peter Donegan, roving with his microphone, caught up with the Native Woodland Trust.
In my company is Kieran Flood of the Native Woodland Trust. Kieran, we have the Irish Wildlife Trust, we have the Irish Birdwatch Ireland Federation. We have so many federations and confederations and associations and organisations. What does the Native Woodland Trust do that is extremely different from everybody else?
Well, the Native Woodland Trust is focused especially on Irish native woodlands. So all the different organisations here would have their own sort of focus. So there's something for everybody, really. And the Native Woodland Trust is particularly interested in Irish native woodland. So that would mean quite rare stuff at the moment. That'd be oak woodlands, natural oak, ash, hazel, holly woodlands. We're very concerned about the lack of them in Ireland at the moment. And we are always planting new woodlands. And we're also trying to protect existing native and ancient woodlands. So that's our main focus.
First of all, welcome to the show as well.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
In between all of this, is there a bit where, you know, we had fields and acres and fields and fields, and then all of a sudden the humans decided to come to town and go, you and you, get lost. I want to put a whole bale of bricks there with a V-shaped upside down roof on you and move in and put my kettle and my fancy down toaster there. Is that a part of why the Native Woodland Trust came about?
Metaphysically speaking, yes. Yeah, it does date back to human interference. Essentially, the island of Ireland would have been almost entirely covered in what we call native woodlands. So that would have been hazel woods, oak and elm woods. What happened then is once man came to the island, the woods did start to disappear. But it wouldn't be necessarily just to make space for kettles and houses. It started way, way, way before that, when they started clearing for agriculture, first of all. Clearing space out to make agriculture. Then it would have been harvesting the woodlands for using the timber. And that would have accelerated during the colonial period, when the British would have been using the timber as well for all their fun overseas. And it would have continued until modern day, we also cut down trees and use for timber. So eventually got to the point where around the turn of the last century, around 1900, we had 1% forest cover left out of the original extent, which was the whole island. So it's quite a dramatic change, but it happened slowly over time. And basically it happened because people forgot to plant trees when they cut them down, which is a pretty basic rule. So the Native Woodland Trust, what the Native Woodland Trust is about, would be planting trees, planting more native Irish trees in Ireland, and hoping that the future generations will be able to have an island with a bit more native woodland, because it's a fantastic resource for recreation, taking your walks and relaxing. It's great for biodiversity, and native woodland supports so much wildflowers, insects, pine martens, badgers, everything. So it's really positive thing, native woodland. So the Native Woodland Trust is basically trying to bring us back a little bit towards having more than rather than having less.
I've got connotations once again of Woodstock popping into my head, a little bit of Hendrix on the wireless, sitting out the back garden underneath some kind of native-y Irish-y thing that fell over, and one or two cans of beer, and I'm all of a sudden back at the Spirit of Folk Festival. But a lot of people who have got their hair cut short, like myself, who live in fancy Dan dwellings with that said matching toaster and kettle, are going to turn around and go, yeah, well, hold on a second. I know native Irish trees grow really, really, really tall. And then I know that my back garden is 8 metres by 10 metres. one, two, three, four panels across the back, one, two, three, four and a half down the side. No, it's not going to fit there, not in my lifetime. So they're kind of maybe switching off. How or what? Or is there an alternate where I can go and get a tree planted on my behalf, but just not in my own back garden? Because isn't that ultimately what we as individuals want? Of course I'm green, I recycle my coffee grinds. No, just not a native Irish woodland tree. Is there not a bit of that about it?
Yeah, there is. There's a few good points in there, Peter. First of all, not everyone's garden is going to be suitable to a giant oak tree. Your neighbours might have something to say about it if you go planting a load of oaks. You can do your bit to, if you're interested in native woodlands, you don't need to plant one in your garden. You could sponsor a tree through the Native Woodland Trust. Go on to our website, www.nativewoodlandtrust.ie, and you can sponsor a tree which we will then plant somewhere where there will be space for it to grow. As a trust, we manage land purely for woodland, and we actually have it so that it will never be harvested for profit. So if you sponsor a tree with us, it'll be planted somewhere that is dedicated as a woodland, and it'll get to grow and have space. And then also, if you say after you've had your coffee you want to go out and plant a tree rather than just sponsor one, you can also go onto our website and check out when our next tree planting day is, because we really love to get people involved. So whether you're from Dublin, whether you're from down the country, it doesn't make a difference. If you come along to one of our planting days, they're all around the country. There's some in Wicklow, some in Waterford, in Leitrim. So you come along to our planting days, you can get a chance to plant your own one tree or maybe 20, 30 trees, because it actually doesn't take too long. So come along to our planting day and you'll get to play your part that way too.
How much does it cost, give me this, to plant a tree? And how much does it cost to just sponsor a tree so that I can go, it's all right, I'll pay him, the gardener, to do it? Which is also, I have to say, it's my dad's favourite way to garden, which is pay him money. Yeah. And then he does it. I think it's beautiful. I wouldn't be in business except for that. Okay. But how much would it cost to sponsor the planting of one? Or to plant, sorry, with?
Okay, so to sponsor a tree with the Native Woodland Trust is €34. And when you do that, you get the knowledge that a tree's been planted in your name. You get a certificate telling you what type of tree and on which one of our nature reserves it's been planted. And also, somebody will plant it for you. The other alternative is if you actually want to come out and join a volunteering day and plant your own tree, that's absolutely free. So we provide the trees, we provide the land. So you just join us and you're just helping out on the day and planting one, maybe 10, 20 trees, depends how strong your back is.
I want to go visit my tree that I paid £34 for. I think I'm entitled to it for that price. Can I go do that? Is that allowed? Do I get a certificate?
You can go visit your tree. You can visit the site where it's planted. We don't do individual tree numbers because logistically that would be very difficult to label every single tree. So your cert will tell you what type of tree it is and on which one of our sites it's on. And then all our sites are open to the public, so you can go and basically visit the area your tree is planted in, but you won't have the exact tree number, just to let you know.
Okay, let me give you another one before we go for a song and a little bit of a break. We got politics coming up after this one, but I just smuggled a leprechaun in across the border that doesn't exist anymore. I got a big bag of cash and I ring the yourselves up and I say, how you doing? I want to buy that amount of trees. Surely you'll strike a deal at me and go, sure, you can come visit it. Will that happen?
Well, you can visit it even if you just buy one. You can visit any of our woodlands for free. They're open to the public. But if you're wondering, are you able to buy multiple trees from us? Yeah, you can buy a load of them, and you can sponsor a large amount of trees, and we'll sort that out for you, definitely. And you can visit as well, yeah.
Brian Green, back in studio. Brian, do we actually have any songs about trees, or have we already used them all up? I don't know. Your second name being Green, I'll leave that one to you. Also, how's that, the hedge of yours in your front garden?
The hedge is fine, Peter. I can do a song about a tree. But first, a story about me and the family and a tree. Do you remember around the turn of the millennium, the government gave us all a millennium tree? They sent us a certificate in the post. I'm pretty sure it was Seamus Brennan TD who sent it to us. And about 7 or 8 years after getting the tree, we decided, let's see how the tree is doing. And we headed out to Wicklow and we tried to track down our tree. We did get to find the plot, but we didn't find the exact tree. It was kind of an interesting journey and something that all the family did. We got the whole Green Gang into the car, or the Gang Green, as we like to call them, and we headed out to Wicklow for a lovely day out, but we didn't find our tree. How disappointing. A song about a tree has to be Katie Tunstall.
2, 3, 4 Ooh. Ooh. Knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. When the big black horse said, look this way, he said, hey, but I said no, 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 no. I said no, no, you're not the one for me. No, 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 no. I said no, no, you're not the one for me. Ooh. And my heart hit a problem in the early hours, so I stopped it dead for a beat or two. Ooh. But I cut some cord and I shouldn't have done it, and it won't forgive me after all these years. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. So I sent it to a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. Now I won't come back, cause it's all so happy, and now I got a hole for the world to see. Ooh-hoo. Yeah. Ooh-hoo. And it said no. Not the one for me. No, 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 no. Say no, no. You're not the one for me. Ooh.
One of 3.2 Dublin City FM, Katie Tunstall and Black Horse Cherry Tree from the album Eye to the Telescope, released this week, 9 years ago, December 2004. I think that Katie Tunstall was on a pub crawl in Dublin 12 when she wrote that song. Do you ever notice that it's got two pubs from Dublin 12, the Black Horse and the Cherry Tree? Think about it, on Couple Dove. Let's go back to Peter Donegan with the Native Woodland Trust.
Part two of the Sod Show, and I am back talking with Kieran Flood. Kieran came up there a while ago. Quiltshire want to sell up and sell off half of the forests that are owned by the state. So read the headline in one of the newspapers, I believe, or it was thereabouts. I don't want to misquote them, but that seemed to be the gist of it. What happened? Is it happening? What's going to happen? Does that make the role that you play? Well, not you, but obviously the Native Woodland Trust, does it make the role that you play like so much bigger now? Can you explain to people what did happen with Quiltshire?
Currently with Quiltshire, there's consideration to sell the harvesting rights of the Quiltshire estate, which is basically the trees. What's going to happen, I can't tell you. But if they did get sold, and if they were, for example, harvested on a large scale, then our country would be down a vast amount of trees, because Quiltshire's estate is very, very large. And how would that affect the Native Woodland Trust? I suppose in a way it would show how important it is to try and protect what you have in terms of trees. Our trees would still be standing because we're not part of the Quiltshire estate. We're a non-government, not-for-profit or charity, so our trees won't be harvested for profit, such as Quiltshire's. But all I can say is hopefully that it doesn't happen. Hopefully they get convinced not to sell off the harvesting rights, because there could be dangers then of losing access to Quilcha land, for example, for recreational reasons. A lot of people like to walk the Quilcha woods. That might be a bit uncertain if they sold them to somebody else. A lot of people would be concerned about them just doing a lot of harvesting if they sold them to somebody else. I can't answer these questions, but there are certainly things that I wouldn't want to happen, and the Native Woodland Trust wouldn't particularly want that to happen either. But we'll still be here, and we'll still have our trees. So hopefully we'll still have the other ones as well, the Quilcha ones.
Are you like the ultimate happy tree freak? Are you one of those little guys that sits down at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch the sunrise with a cup of coffee and kind of go, you just can't beat it? And people go, what's he doing? And you go, you'd have to come and sit here to find out. Do you have that bit of beauty about your life? It's a compliment. I do it myself quite regularly, or irregularly, I should say.
If you're asking, do I appreciate nature, then yes. That would definitely be a yes. I have enjoyed the odd sunrise as well, and sunset, both very nice. But as you can see, my hair is currently quite medium to short length, that's about it. I appreciate nature as much as most people, maybe a little bit more.
How did you get involved in the Woodland Trust? What was the catalyst? What made you go, yes, I have a cunning plan, this is my next one? What made you get involved? How long are you involved in it? And if other people want to do the same as you did, how do they go about that?
There's the Woodland Trust, the Native Woodland Trust, is always looking for people to get involved. We have a lot of different roles that you can get involved with as a volunteer. I mentioned tree planting earlier on. We also have just general volunteering days on the reserve and on our nature reserves, which would involve possibly maintaining paths or putting up educational signage or maybe clearing some vegetation. So that's a lot of different sort of simple tasks that you can do. And you can also get involved by becoming a member of the Native Woodland Trust on our website, which is www.nativewoodlandtrust.ie. And as for me, well, I got involved by studying wildlife, studying conservation biology, and ended up luckily working in the area. But after a lot of volunteering in the meantime, and still plan to volunteer as well. But that was my story.
Excellent. Kieran Flood, thank you so much for your time. It's been a funny chat, an unusual chat, and more than anything else, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me. And I love Dublin City FM.
He loves the social more. Brian, it's back to you in the studio.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Peter. Soon after that interview was recorded, the government did announce plans to shelve the sale of Quilcha. The sale and harvesting rights of the country's state-owned forests, the Irish Times reports, has been abandoned. Minister for Agriculture Simon Coveney said the government will instead focus on creating a new company merging Quilcha and Bordnamona to develop commercial bioenergy and forestry interests. The minister said that the decision to stall the sale of about 1 million acres of trees was based on concerns for jobs, public access and financial losses. The sale had been forecast to make anywhere between 400 million and 774 million, but a report by the economist Peter Bacon found that the sale would incur costs of 1.3 billion euro. So congratulations to everyone who campaigned against the sale of Quilcha, most notably Richard Boyd Barrett TD for Dunleary and Claire Daly TD for Dublin North. In Dáil Éireann were very strong voices against the sale of Quilcha. Back to the Sod Show and less politics, because Peter's going to kill me. We do have some more news for you. Would you like to go potato picking? Can a wonky potato, some markers and a packet of crisps change the course of Irish agriculture? Spuds believes in the power of the individual to affect change. The most important subjects of the future will be water quality, soil fertility and nutrition. Spuds research invites Irish consumers to engage in the creation of a food system that promotes human health in partnership with nature. As a fundraising effort, Spud's next batch of award-winning Spuds.ie crisps with a conscience will be selling a limited edition of our acre of premium Sarpo Axona Spuds in 5 kilogram bags for Christmas. On December 8th, our farmer John Swalby Miller will be digging, picking, washing and preparing the potatoes for market, and Spuds needs volunteers. Come join them at Red Cross County Wicklow for an invigorating day in the field with John and his piglets. good company, and a hearty potato lunch will be provided in a local pub. Reward, a warm feeling in the soul, and your very own bag of best buds in Ireland for your Christmas feast. This Sunday, December 8th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m, meeting at the parking lot at the Tap Pub, Kilbride, County Wicklow. Required equipment, Wellingtons, rain gear just in case, gloves and some warm clothes. The Sod Show is brought to you in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet, greensacks.ie. If you've got news for The Sod Show, do get in touch with us at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, sodshow.com on the World Wide Web. We'd love to hear from you and do get in touch. Coming up to Christmas, we'll be doing some programmes with relation to some presents that people can get within the horticultural gardening end of things. If you have any ideas for us, you know how to get in touch. Also, if you're in men's sheds, anybody out there who's involved with men's sheds and you're doing some gardening stuff, please get in touch with The Sod Show. That's about it for today's show. We will play out with one more music track. Overnight we heard of the death of Nelson Mandela. This is for him. Take care. Bye-bye.